Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. Now, we all know that banking profits are compellingly linked to house prices. And over the last two or so decades of significant increases in the value of property, the banks have been laughing all the way to the bank, pun intended. As people with more equity in their property feel richer and thus are likely to spend more, generally using credit cards to do so, which then also proves a profits bonanza for banks. However, with the current flatlining or in some cases pullback in housing prices, our banks are starting to feel the pinch. And what makes this worse is that the outlook over the long term for property doesn't fare much better. I've just finished reading this really interesting article where a senior banker has commented on the state of mortgage credit growth and that with the downturn in terms of property prices, there has been a huge sudden shift with banks to look at alternate ways of finding new customers and thus new business. In this article, the banker states that pre-GFC mortgage credit growth was running at about 15 to 20% and had been doing so since the mid-90s on an annual basis. And from this, banks were getting around 10% revenue growth. However, the last few years has seen mortgage credit growth basically stall. In fact, housing credit growth is now at its slowest pace in 30 years. The RBA recently released figures showing that total mortgage credit growth grew by only 6.6% in the 12 months to March. So whilst most of us curse when we hear about the size of a bank's profit, such revenue can largely be contributed to the housing booms over the last 20 years or so. In fact, mortgages are banks' single biggest asset class. For instance, mortgages make up 65% of total assets at Commonwealth Bank and also Westpac, 55% at ANZ, and 50% at NAB. Such asset classes are also the most profitable for banks, with margins at about 1%. Now, although they do hold other loan assets with higher margins, the impairments for these higher risk loans are also much higher. I've also highlighted some more interesting facts from this article, such as the fact that with the current amount of mortgages sitting in the banking sector is around $1 trillion. And then if we look at the credit growth that I mentioned earlier of 6.6%, that's around $66 billion in new mortgages over the last 12 months. So with the margin at 1%, the banking sector could expect around $660 million in additional revenue in the next 12 months. And these are all simplified figures. However, if the credit growth was running around the average 15% or so it has been for the best part of two or so decades, banks would have seen around $1.5 billion in revenue. Now, this is a difference of some $900 million to the bottom line of banks, and that's quite a scary hole to plug. With this lack of growth, we've seen the banking sector creating new ways to gain more customers. National Australia Bank's attempts to poach customers from other banks has probably been the most widely viewed plan of attack when they ran their divorced campaign of advertisements recently. But we've also seen the cutting of mortgage exit fees and banks also willing to pay any exit fees to entice new business. Further, we are now entering into a vicious economic cycle that is likely to see property as an asset stagnate in value for the foreseeable future. Add this to the fact that overseas funding, for which Australia relies on heavily to fund mortgage growth, is becoming more expensive, and impending interest rate rises, it's likely that banks will have far less business to rely on as mortgage holders shut up shop on appreciative asset splurges, meaning the picture is starting to get bleaker and bleaker. But enough about the banks. Let's talk about the property investment side of things. What does all this doom and gloom mean for you as an investor? To me, it's quite simple. The next year or so is going to be a great time to buy property. Now, I don't proclaim to be a property investment expert, and in fact, I'm far from it. However, what I am an expert on is looking at the bigger picture and the current cycle that is unfolding. One of the first things we teach our students at Wealth Within is that the share market unfolds in repeatable cycles and has done so over hundreds of years. In this manner, the same analysis can be applied to the property market and, in fact, any asset class. Again, everything unfolds in cycles. As such, the current property market sentiment is simply part of a greater cycle. And there is no doubt in my mind that over the next several years, for those who purchase wisely now, your efforts will be well rewarded. This belief is further compounded by information this week that there are a number of big-time investors jumping back into the property market. Another investment mantra I always adhere to is, follow the big money. Again, this can be done in the share market and so too with property. For instance, this week it's come to light that Clive Palmer, Nathan Tinkler and James McKay, amongst others, who are all big movers and shakers in the mining industry, are picking up distressed-priced property assets around Queensland, where property prices have generally sunk significantly more than the rest of the country. This is a great sign that there are bargains to be had for the shrewd investor. And although we may not all have access to the funds that such mining magnates have, we can still ride the coattails of the next boom. And for those who are prepared and wise with their money, it will be quite a ride. Thanks for listening. I'm Blake Stirling, and this has been Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300 ShareTrade.